Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. Even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching never changed anything.
And today's It's My House is titled E-Commerceville Airbnb versus Craigslist, 619-768-2945. We got some audio for you as usual today because we're going to be on this topic, this aspect of e-commerce this week. Today's Tuesday. And I have a special announcement, which will become an income opportunity, a money-making opportunity for at least two people that listen into the program today. So I'll announce that, but let's go to our audio. Like I say, today is Airbnb, which we talked about yesterday, Airbnb versus Craigslist.
I want to tell you about a plan you can follow which takes only a little time each day, 5 days a week, and which brings results out of all proportion to the time spent. For a moment, consider the things your mind has brought you. Everything you have, your work, your relationship with your family and others, your philosophy of life, all come to you as a result of using your mind. Now consider the estimate made by experts. You have probably been operating on less than 10% of your mental capacities, much less. Dr. Herbert Otto, psychologist, educator, and chairman of the National Center for the Exploration of Human Potential, reminds us that many well-known scientists, such as the late Abraham Maslow, Margaret Mead, Gardner Murphy, O. Spurgeon English, and Carl Rogers, subscribed to the hypothesis that man is using a very small fraction of his capacities. Margaret Mead quotes a 6% figure. Herbert Otto writes, "My own estimate is 5% or less." Neurological research at the UCLA Brain Research Institute points to enormous abilities latent in everyone by suggesting an incredible hypothesis. The ultimate creative capacity of the human brain may be, for all practical purposes, they pointed out, infinite. To use the computer analogy, man is a vast storehouse of data. But we have not learned how to program ourselves to utilize these data for problem-solving purposes. Yefremov, the eminent Soviet scholar and writer, says man under average conditions at work and life uses only a small part of his thinking equipment. If he were able to force our brain to work at only half its capacity, we could, without any difficulty whatever, learn 40 languages, memorize the large Soviet encyclopedia from cover to cover, and complete the required courses of dozens of colleges. Now, this statement is hardly an exaggeration. It is the generally accepted theoretical view of man's mental potentialities. Now, how can we tap this gigantic potential? Well, it's a big and very complex problem with many ramifications. But as Herbert Otto points out, it is clear that persons who live close to their capacity, who continue to activate their potential, have a pronounced sense of well-being and considerable energy. They see themselves as leading purposeful and creative lives. If everything you have is the result of using just 10% of your mind, consider for a moment what it will mean to you and your family if you can increase this percentage. Now, none of us, as a rule, has the slightest notion of the real capabilities of his mind. But believe me when I say that your mind can be compared to an undiscovered gold mine, and it makes no difference whether you're 17 or 70. Look at it this way. Your goal is in the future. Your problem is to bridge the gap which exists between where you are now and the goal you intend to reach. This is the problem to solve. Robert Seashore, when chairman of the Department of Psychology at Northwestern University, pointed out that successful people are not people without problems. They're simply people who've learned to solve their problems. And there you have it. Living successfully, getting the things we want from life, is a matter of solving the problems which stand between where we now are and the point we wish to reach. No one is without problems. They're a part of living. But let me show you how much time we waste in worrying about the wrong problems. Here's a reliable estimate of the things people worry about. Things that never happen, 40%. Things over and past that can't be changed by all the worry in the world, 30%. Needless worries about our health, 12%. Petty miscellaneous worries, 10%. Real, legitimate worries, 8%. In short, 92% of the average person's worries take up valuable time, cause painful stress, even mental anguish, and are absolutely unnecessary. And of the real, legitimate worries, there are two kinds. There are the problems we can solve, and there are the problems beyond our ability to personally solve. But most of our real problems usually fall into the first group, the ones we can solve if we learn how. Now, I'm going to assume you've decided upon a goal. Your problem is, how do I achieve it? Your goal may be a promotion, a greater income, a beautiful home. It makes little difference what your goal happens to be. But you have your goal, and you know that you will become and you will achieve what you think about. That is, if you stay with it, you will reach your goal. But how? Well, it's right here that your mind comes into play. What is your mind? No one knows for sure. Perhaps the best way to describe it is to quote Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Archibald MacLeish. In his play, The Secret of Freedom, a character says, "The only thing about a man that is a man is his mind. Everything else you can find in a pig or a horse." That's uncomfortably true. The human mind is the one thing that separates us from the rest of the creatures on Earth. Anything that comes to us in the future will almost certainly come to us as a result of the extent to which we use our minds. And yet it's the last place on Earth the average person will turn to for help. In order to reflect just a moment on the human mind, consider what it's accomplished. Human knowledge has advanced more in the past 50 years than in all the preceding 10,000 years of human civilization. Of all the scientists who ever lived, it's estimated that 90% of them are alive today. We've reached, in the area of ideas and human advancement, a plateau so high it was undreamed of by even the most optimistic forecasters as recently as 10 years ago. But every new idea triggers additional ideas, so that now we're in an era of compounding advancement on every front and in every area that staggers the imagination. Dr. Harlow Shapley of Harvard has said that we're entering an entirely new age of man. He calls it the psychozoic age, the age of the mind. And you own one, free and clear. Now let's look at a few facts. Now, the average working person has at his disposal an enormous amount of free time. In fact, if you total the hours in a year and subtract the sleeping hours, if he sleeps 8 hours every night, you'll find he has almost 6,000 waking hours, of which he spends less than 2,000 on the job. Now, this leaves him 4,000 hours a year when he's neither working nor sleeping. These can be called discretionary hours, with which we can do pretty much as we please. At least, our minds are free. Now, so you can see the amazing results in your life, I want to recommend that you take just 1 hour a day, 5 days a week, and devote this hour to exercising your mind. Pick 1 hour a day on which you can fairly regularly count. And during this hour every day, take a completely blank sheet of paper. At the top of the page, write your present primary goal, clearly, simply. Then, since our future depends upon the way in which we handle our work, write down as many ideas as you can for improving that which you now do. Try to think of 20 possible ways in which the activity that fills your day can be improved. You won't always get 20, but even one idea is good. Now remember two important points with regard to this. One, this is not particularly easy, and two, most of your ideas won't be any good. Now, when I say it's not easy, I mean it's like starting any new habit. At first, you'll find your mind a little reluctant to be hauled up and out of the old familiar rut. But as you think about your work and ways in which it might be improved, write down every idea that pops into your mind, no matter how absurd it might seem. Let me tell you what will happen. Some of your ideas will be good and worth testing. The most important thing this extra hour accomplishes, however, is that it deeply embeds your goal into your subconscious mind, starts the whole vital machinery working. And 20 ideas a day, if you can come up with that many, total 100 a week, even if you don't think on weekends. An hour a day, 5 days a week, totals 260 hours a year, and still leaves you 3,740 hours of free leisure time. Now, this means you'll be thinking about your goal and ways of improving your performance, increasing your service, 6.5 full extra working weeks a year. 6.5 40-hour weeks devoted to thinking and planning. Can you see how easy it is to rise above the so-called competition? And will still leave you with 15 hours a day to spend as you please. Starting each day thinking, you'll find that your mind will continue to work all day long. You'll find that at odd moments, when you least expect it, really great ideas will begin to pop into your mind. And when they do, write them down as soon as you can. Just one great idea can completely revolutionize your work and, as a result, your life. If you want to develop the muscles of your body, you take daily exercise of some sort. Well, the mind is developed in the same way, except that the returns are out of all conceivable proportion to the time and energy spent. I've used this system for years, and it's given me some of the most gratifying and rewarding experiences of my life. And it costs only 5 hours a week. 5 hours out of 168. Is it worth it? It's like spending 5 hours a week digging in a solid vein of pure gold, because your mind is all of that, and much more. Each time you write your goal at the top of the sheet of paper, don't worry or become concerned about it. Think of it as only waiting to be reached, a problem only waiting to be solved. Face it with faith and bend all the great powers of your mind toward solving it. And believe me, solve it, you will. Now let's briefly recap. This week, start spending 1 hour each day getting as many ideas as you can. Try for 20 a day on ways to improve what you're now doing. Remember, the achievement of your goal very likely depends upon it, as does your whole future. Two, if everything you now have is the result of using, say, 5 to 10% of your mental abilities, you can imagine what life will be like if you can increase this figure to 20% or more. Three, successful people are not people without problems. They're simply people who've learned to solve their problems. Four, don't waste time and energy worrying about needless things. 40% of them will never happen, 30% have already happened and can't be changed, 12% are needless worries about our health, 10% are petty miscellaneous worries, and Only 8% are real. Try to separate the real from the unnecessary and solve those which are within your ability to solve. Last of all, the only thing in the world that can take you to your goals in life is your mind, its effective use, and following through on the good ideas it supplies you. Each of us has a tendency to underestimate his or her own abilities. We should realize that we have, deep within ourselves, a reservoir of great ability, even genius, that can be tapped if we'll just dig deep enough. It's the miracle of your mind.
Okay, today's It's Miles Gustavo, e-commerce world, Airbnb versus Craigslist. This is a carryover conversation from yesterday, which will go all through this week, on how you can earn money, earn an income, a consistent income if you like it, via Airbnb and Craigslist, which are e-commerce platforms. 619-768-2945. And as I said at the beginning of the podcast, we have a special announcement to make today. It involves an opportunity for at least two of you to earn some income. All right, so we're going to announce that, but let's go into our e-commerce audios for today.
Hey everyone, this is Bill. So today I'm going to tell you how you can make quite a bit of money from Airbnb. This method that I'm going to talk about, I don't think it's anything extraordinary, creative, or anything like that. However, when I was talking about this with people, I was surprised how many people told me that they never have thought about this before, and it seemed that no one really even thought that you can actually automate this whole process. That's why I decided to share this with you. Okay, so first of all, how does Airbnb work? What you know Airbnb for is probably its initial purpose. So Airbnb was created to rent out your free room, if you have a free room in your house, or actually if you go on holiday, you can rent out the free room on their website, and then they take a little percentage, and then you get whatever you are renting it out for. However, what you might have not realized is that a lot of people have actually built businesses out of Airbnb instead of just earning a couple of extra dollars. So as I mentioned, Airbnb is basically a website where you can put your listings, and then basically they bring the people, they bring the customers to your listing. So when you think about it, in essence, it's basically the same concept that we have seen before on the internet when we book hotels. This is the exact same thing what hotels do and those websites that you can find hotels through do, except the only difference is that now you and me, just simple individuals, can do it as well. Okay, so let's get to the system, how to actually make money with Airbnb. As I said, this is pretty simple system, it's nothing super crazy. However, a bit later in the video, I'm going to tell you some of the things, some of the resources you can use to take this to the next level. So if you want to actually make money on Airbnb, what you need to do is rent out long-term apartments and then re-rent it, relist it on Airbnb and rent it daily. It really depends a lot on where you live, how expensive the rent is, how many people actually come to your city, how much competition there is, and so on and so on. But from my experience, renting an apartment for $1,000 a month and relisting it on Airbnb daily can earn you somewhere around $3,000. So that is basically $2,000 profit from just $1,000 investment in only 1 month, which I think is a pretty decent return on investment. Okay, so how can we automate this? A lot of people are afraid that it's going to be too much work to run Airbnb, and that is fair reason to be afraid of. If you're going to do everything yourself, then basically you need to contact the guests, keep in contact with them, make sure they're happy, and then clean the apartment, which can take quite a bit of your time, and maybe it's not the things that you like to do. I personally hate that. So you have to decide for yourself if that time that you will spend doing these things is worth the $2,000 that you might make. However, honestly, I would suggest just to automate it. By the way, I'm saying $2,000 because this is from my own experience. Obviously, if you're going to invest more, if you're going to get more expensive apartment, then profits are going to increase with that as well. Okay, so cleaning, this is pretty simple. You can just find a person. I'm pretty sure there are a bunch of cool kids that would love to just earn a few extra dollars and would come to clean to your place. But another thing that you can actually do is just Google for special cleaning services for Airbnb hosts. A lot of cities have special services that are dedicated to clean Airbnb apartments. They know how to do everything. They come, they change the code of the door, all that kind of stuff, whatever you need. This is what I used to use. When it comes to contacting the guests, this is something that I personally hate. I hate customer support and all that. It's a hassle, but you don't need to do that yourself. It's super simple. You can just go on Freelancer or you can go on Fiverr, find someone who will do that instead of you, and then you don't need to take care of it. Maybe give some tips to the freelancer so that you get good rating from your guests, but besides that, you're off the hook. Another quick tip is about the door key, because you do not want to use a key. Passing a key is a hassle that you don't want to do, and also people can lose keys, or keys can actually even get stolen, so you definitely don't want to do that. What you want to do instead is buy an automatic door lock, which is amazing. Personally, the one that I use had this little pin. So basically, you just tell the cleaning person to change the pin after every single guest, and then tell your freelancer that's managing the customer support to send the new pin to every single guest, and then there's no hassle of the key. I will put a link down below in the description, and you can go on my website as well, and you will see what I mean by this automatic door lock. So after this, all the work that is really left for you after the whole setup is basically just receiving money from Airbnb and then paying your cleaners and paying your freelancer, your virtual assistant. That is pretty much it. So to give you some example, as you might have understood, I have done this before when I was living back in Korea. I wasn't really running it as a business per se. However, I had this apartment that I wasn't there that often. I was a lot at my ex-girlfriend's place or out of town. So I would use these services and I would rent out my apartment. And usually I think I was renting it out somewhere around half of the month, like 2 weeks out of the month. And that was enough to cover my rent that I was paying. It was $1,000 I was paying. It was enough to cover my rent, and I was earning some extra money as well. The best thing though was when I used to go out on the long holiday. So I would just go out to Philippines or Thailand or whatever for a month or so, and then just rent out my place. And that would not only pay for my accommodation and the other country where I go, but it would also pay for most of my trip. Another example, and why I put this as $10,000 per month, because that is the amount that the people I knew personally were making per month. Obviously, you can make as much as you want. It doesn't have to be just $10,000. You can scale it as much as you want, and it can be a lot more than that. What my friends were doing was basically the exact thing what I just explained. They rented out an apartment for $1,000 per month, and on average, they told me they were making around $2,000 in profit. And as far as I know, one of my friends had 5 apartments, at least at the time when I was back in Korea. I don't know how many apartments he has now. He might have scaled up a lot because he was doing a really good job with that. So at least he, back when I was in Korea, was making 10 grand per month from this. So there's definitely some good opportunity there. Of course, you don't necessarily need to expand into more places. Instead of that, what you can do, just get more expensive places. And then at the same time, if you just get one place that's really expensive and on a few different places, then you don't need the virtual assistant as often, and you don't need cleaning services as often, so you save up on those costs. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple more tips how you can make some additional money. What you can do as well to earn extra cash is provide additional services to your listing. Firstly, you can sell food and drinks. Similar to a hotel, you can basically do the exact same concept of the mini fridge, except it's an apartment, you probably have a huge fridge. You can put in drinks there and snacks and whatnot, and people have to pay money if they want to eat that. However, please don't charge like $20 for a Snickers bar or something crazy like that. Please don't be insane. However, people are lazy and people are willing to pay money, so you can earn quite a bit. And all that you need to do really is just ask your cleaners to refill the fridge every time they come to clean. Another thing you can do is getting commission from local businesses. A lot of times when people come to your apartment, they're usually visiting the city and they might want to go on a tour or they might want to go to explore or something like that. So what you want to do is go to your local tour agency or rental and agree with them that if you bring them customers, they will give you commission. So if people book a tour to that agency or they rent out, let's say, a scooter or a car, whatever it is, you're going to get a cut out of that. And also what you can do is ask for some discount for your guests. So you can write in your listing that you recommend this and this agency, and for my guests, they can get a 10% discount on the services. I'm pretty sure that 99% of the people are going to book the services that you recommend to them. There are really a bunch of different ways how you can make some additional money from the customers that Airbnb actually brings to you, so you don't need to do any work trying to find these people. I will leave that to your imagination. Let me know if you think of something, leave it down below in the comments. I'm pretty curious. So to conclude the video, there's potential to make somewhere around 300% in profit off your investment in only 1 month. You can pretty much completely automate the whole process, and you can also make some extra money on top of that. If you found this useful and if you think to proceed with this, then you can do me a favor and use my affiliate link down below. It's not going to cost you any extra money. Actually, you will get $25 off your first travel or something like that. I will get a few dollars if you do that through my affiliate link. So that's basically you saying a little thank you for me for making this video. If you like this and subscribe to my YouTube channel, you can find a bunch of videos about passive income and whatnot. Press thumbs up on this video, follow me on social media, stay awesome, and I'll see you soon.
All right, today's title, E-Commerceville, the distinction between Airbnb and Craigslist, 619-768-2945. Before we go to our special, I would say, innovative announcement today, let's go to 253. What say you?
Oh, man, I'm just waiting on the announcement.
Okay, well, let's see. Let's, well, let's play this next audio. I think I'm going to announce that to this next audio. That's what I'm going to do. So people that are interested
awesome.
In such an announcement, you better stay tuned. It'll be an opportunity for you to earn some money.
What's up, you guys?
And
it's
I do want to say,
some of you may already know, I pretty much built my entire real estate business by posting leases on Craigslist. And from that, I've been able to make over 6 figures per year consistently from clients that I've originally met from Craigslist. And because I get asked this question so often about how I post ads and what I recommend, this is my video addressing all the questions I get, and I'll share with you exactly how I post ads on Craigslist because it's fairly simple and it's very easy to explain. A quick background about why I feel qualified to speak about this. I've been posting ads on Craigslist for over 9 years now. Now, back when I started, Craigslist allowed HTML, which means I was able to go in and fine-tune the ad and put different breaks in there and basically use HTML to alter the ad enough for me to get the desired result I was going for. Now, back then, I also used what was called a Craigslist tracker, which tracked the number of times someone clicked on my ad. It was a little piece of code that went in the very bottom of the Craigslist ad that I would hide with HTML. Nobody would see it there. But from that, I was able to track which ads got more hits, which got less hits, and how many views on average I would get per post. So from there, I slowly started testing which ads got the most hits, and then fine-tuning those ads to figure out how I can get more views per ad. So I started tracking different titles, doing long titles versus short titles, versus doing little images on either side of the titles, versus which titles would work better than others, to then working on which pictures got the most views and what price range got the most views, and I was able to fine-tune that over a few years to basically come up with the perfect Craigslist ad that I created. Now, a few years later, Craigslist disabled HTML in their postings, which means that now it's just a basic format that everyone has to adhere to. But the good thing that came from that is that I was still able to determine which titles are the best, which post format was the best, and what worked because I had used 3 years of prior knowledge using HTML and Craigslist ads to figure out which format worked the best, so I'm going to be sharing that with you. And by the way, I've noticed there's a common misconception people have about Craigslist, in that a lot of people think people from Craigslist are weird, that people are just unqualified, that you're going to meet some, like, serial killer from Craigslist. But I'm here to debunk that 100%. I basically met all walks of life through Craigslist. I've met people that have 9-to-5 jobs, that are accountants, that are doctors and lawyers, and I've literally met tech billionaires and A-list actors from Craigslist. So I want to totally throw that out there, that Craigslist has some very cool people on it, and I would not dismiss this just because Craigslist has a weird stigma about it, that it's like, it's Craigslist. So let's get over that. Craigslist is also one of the most underutilized websites out there because it's totally free, and it's amazing exposure that's very simple to get, and it takes you maybe like 5 to 10 minutes max to get your name out there. So I'll show you exactly how to do that. So obviously the first step is to go to Craigslist.com, obviously. Next, since I'm already logged in, we're going to go to Apartments Housing. Then we're going to go to the right. We're going to click Post. We're going to go to Housing Offered. Then we're going to go to Apartments/Housing for Rent. Obviously, this is Los Angeles, so I'm doing West Side.
Stay off the West Side.
I also think this might work best for rental listings. I've tried posting sale listings before on Craigslist. I haven't had much luck with that, but I've had a lot of luck posting lease and rental listings on Craigslist. Craigslist is a very good resource to get rentals because not a lot of agents want to work with tenants because there's not a lot of commission involved up front. So typically, they don't like to list a lot of them on the MLS. Therefore, a lot of the tenants instead go to Craigslist. So if you're one of the few agents that post Craigslist ads that works with leases, a lot of these tenants will become buyers or sellers in the next 2 to 5 years. Now, this works great long term because you put in some upfront work and eventually these people refer you other business, they become your buyers, they eventually become your sellers, and it translates to huge amounts of business in the future. And there's also very little competition between you and other agents because very few other agents want to work Craigslist leases. So that alone sets you apart from a lot of other agents. So let's first start with the title. The title is going to be the most important thing you can do to increase your click-through rate. To give you an example, let's take a look at some other ads that people post. You see for the most part that a lot of these just kind of blend into one another. It's very important to do your best to stand out as much as you can because when people are searching, all the ads somewhat look the same. So the first thing I recommend is doing your title in all capital letters. I've also found that longer titles do better than shorter titles for some reason or another. More people click through to a longer title. I also like to make the title as attention-getting as possible and trying to describe the property as much as you can in one sentence. So if the property has a pool, mention the pool. If it has a view, mention the view. If it has a huge master bedroom, mention the master bedroom. If it's been remodeled, repainted, new carpet, mention anything you can that people would see as a positive. So on this, for instance, I'm going to say beautiful new construction in West Hollywood with a pool and city views. Okay, so I can't fit the whole thing. But anyway, so I basically maxed out the title. Next specific location, I mean, just type in the location. I'll just do West Hollywood. Postal code, I'll do 9069. So going back to the title, I also notice it helps sometimes to put little images or little like stars or shapes at the beginning and at the end of every description. Let's see if I can find an example here for you. Not a lot of people do this. I feel sometimes it cheapens the ad, but at the same time, it's extremely effective in getting someone to click through. Like this, like here's one for example. They use this little shape here, and that gets your attention when you see a whole bunch of ads. And you see a little shape, your eye just instantly goes right there. Now, I've used these before. It definitely increases the click-through rate, sometimes double or triple. But at the same time, you don't want to be too spammy. So I definitely use this in moderation, if at all. It's just, you got to find what works best with you. Typically, it does work, but at the same time, you don't want to come off as spammy. Let's see if I can find another one for you if I just, like, up the price by $100. Wow, nobody's doing this. So let's see some more. Maybe we go to, like, jobs. Here we go. So here's an example. So, like, this one here, they use little stars. So you can definitely do this. I mean, when you see a whole bunch of ads like this, nobody else is doing that. So obviously when you see some stars here, your eye instantly goes to this type of ad. So by all means, if you want to do this, you can definitely do it. I don't know why, but I found that shorter titles usually do better than longer titles if you use those little images on either side. So just take that with as you will, and definitely try experimenting on your own and seeing if that works well with you. Beautiful estate in West Hollywood with two little like stars on either end, that will get you a lot of hits. So definitely experiment with that. So now let's go to the posting body. Now, what I found the most important thing to mention first is your name and your contact information. It's going to be the first thing that people see. Now, I've noticed a lot of people, too, for some reason, they post their contact info in, like, the very bottom of the ad, which, like, probably very few people actually go and see, or they hide it in the middle.
Okay, today on It's My House, we're carrying over from yesterday, and we're going to go cover some aspect of e-commerce this week. Today's podcast is titled E-commerce Real Airbnb versus Craigslist. Now, yesterday we had a very special sort of surprise guest because we didn't have him scheduled in until the beginning of the podcast, Mr. C. And Mr. C has plenty of experience with Airbnb as well as other e-commerce platforms. So let me put it this way. Here's the announcement. All right, I don't know if other podcasts are doing this or even blogs on YouTube, but here we go. Here's the opportunity for probably about four people total. But we're going to start off with the first two. Here's the opportunity. I've got some property that I'm going to have to both of them involve rent. So one involves a duplex, and I know how to list it and put it online and take 100% of the money myself. But something came to me as we were about to go on air this morning. Share the wealth and use it as a teaching opportunity. So with the duplex, we're going to use that as a training ground where you can earn some money. We're going to discuss different platforms. Craigslist options, Airbnb. There's several options, as you heard yesterday. All right. So for the two people that are going to be involved with this, this particular rental property that's ready to go now. I got the pictures. I'll send you the pictures, and I'll tell you everything you need to know. And then we'll work out who's going to do what. It'll be the three of us, all right? And then when the transaction is complete, we get paid. So the innovation of this is, because typically some podcasters ask for money for advertising. No, I'm doing it the opposite. So we got a real duplex. I'll send you pictures of it. It's only for two people. Okay, and it'll be a little money, because I want you to actually go through a transaction where money is generated. Now, the second announcement, okay, I'm putting it out there now because today's Tuesday. Yesterday we had on Mr. C, who spoke for the better part of the podcast, all right, which was good. And he has tentatively agreed to coach two people in probably an Airbnb transaction. My part of the transaction is I'm supplying the property in question. Okay. But he's going to do, on the Airbnb side of it, he's going to do 100% of the coaching on that. All right. So that'll be available to two people as well. All right. So, and we'll put everything in writing. This stuff is like ready to go now. Okay. Because the whole idea of this is to get some people to get some results, get some money in their pocket. Might not be a whole lot, but get some money in their pocket where they can at least go buy something or eat something or whatever. And hopefully that'll encourage them to, all right, well, if I can do this and I only spent this amount of time to do it and I made this amount of money, well, let me do it again. And let me do it every day. So that's why I'm putting that out there. Let's go to our phone lines right now. And the distinctions between the two major distinctions between the Airbnb e-commerce platform and Craigslist is this. All right, because Mr. C went through this yesterday. Airbnb, you're getting your money on the back end. Okay, after the people come and, I mean, they pay Airbnb up front. Okay. But as a host, and I'm going to put it out there for the people that listened yesterday, what's the distinction between a host and a landlord? That's a very important distinction with Airbnb. All right. And I'll let you guys from the audience answer that if you remember from yesterday. But anyway, so the landlord gets their money on the back end, and they're pretty reputable. I mean, they're about to go public, so I wish I was around that IPO because they're going to make some people are going to become billionaires, and a lot more people are going to be millionaires if you're on the inside track of the IPO. So that's Airbnb. Now, the distinction with that with Craigslist, there is no middleman. Craigslist, the e-commerce, it's directly to you. The money comes directly to you, no buffers, no middleman. So those are the two major distinctions between Craigslist and Airbnb when it comes to getting paid. All right, but both are good, and you just pick which one you like to go with. All right, and then the other platforms like eBay and all other things that he mentioned yesterday. So like I say, Mr. C will be doing some coaching because we have another property which we're going to more than likely go the Airbnb route on that one. So he'll be doing personal coaching offline. No podcast for that one. Offline to two people where you have an opportunity to make some money in a real Airbnb transaction and you don't put up not a penny. But you gotta put in the time, okay? You gotta put in time. It's not a whole lot, but if, you know, we take a little bit of time each day. But Mr. C will run through all that, all right? And then on the first transaction dealing with a duplex, all right, it's me and you, me and two other people, with a real transaction. So hopefully we'll have four people that have gone through it. And then four will jump up to 40 and 400 and whatever. So let's just see how that works. 253, your mic is open.
Oh, yeah. I hope I'm first in line. I got up early this morning to hear this announcement and get in position. This is a wonderful opportunity.
Since you had your hand up first, you'll be on the first transaction. So we just need one more person. And what I'll do is I'll send you – later today I'll send you the pictures. It's over 25 of them. So I'll send you 25 of them, and we'll pick which ones that are going to go up on the e-commerce platform that we decide on using. Okay. Any other
and
questions?
I do want to say, real quick that we are streaming live via Restreamio on Periscope, Twitter, Facebook, Mixler, YouTube. And so if you are listening in, call in if you want to get in on this opportunity. We are live. So, yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know.
Now, before we go back to our other callers, let's go back to this last audio. Once again, I think it's innovative. I mean, I haven't listened to every podcast that's going. But basically, we're partnering up with people, and we're now asking you for a penny, but you're going to have to give us a little bit of your time, where the three of us get together, or in the case of the Airbnb transaction, it'll be four. All right, and that includes Mr. C, who was on here yesterday. He spoke for well over an hour, and he really gave some solid information on how to make money with Airbnb, mostly with Airbnb, but a few other things too. So we'll be back after this audio.
Jeannie?
Uh-huh?
You're one of my fellow people.
Right.
Right? And you're at the Alvis house.
I am.
Okay. And you're about to get out, correct?
Yes.
Now, were you in prison or in jail before that?
I was in federal prison.
That's right. You were in federal prison.
Uh-huh.
For how long?
I did 2 months short of 5 years.
Okay. I did 4 years.
Okay.
All right. So your issue is you've been doing the Alvis House, which is a reentry program for women. So it's called a halfway house, which means halfway we're learning to readjust back to society.
Exactly.
Because the problems in prison are a nightmare, but the problems out here, like bills, housing, jobs, that's a nightmare too, because no one wants to hire a felon.
Right.
Right. And no one wants to...
And those that do hire us know that they can get away with hiring us for minimum wage.
Correct. They take advantage of us.
Exactly. We're taking a lot of advantage of.
Right. I mean, it's so pathetic. They'll hire... They know we're so desperate that they can get us for nothing.
Yep.
But we'll do it because... Well, when I was in prison, I made $17 a month, and I had two children, so they took out $5 a month for each child.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I made 33.5 cents an hour, and I scrubbed, you know what I did, I scrubbed floors, toilets, bathrooms.
Right.
Worked at the CFS, the kitchen service, which was disgusting. The canned food said not fit for human consumption.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the other day I went to the doctor. Now, we don't know each other, but the doctor's office, it was a holistic doctor, and it says, have you ever been exposed to toxins? And I wrote, I did 4 years in prison and 11 months in a county jail. I'm sure I got lead poisoning, methane gas in the showers. God only knows what poisons I have inside of me.
Exactly.
But our issue is you called me because someone told you to call me. Because you need a place to live.
Exactly.
And as a felon, not only do they reject us for housing many times, but they charge us a $35 to $50 fee for a background.
They charge us for application fee knowing that they're not going to rent to us. And then after they get our money, they don't refund it to us and tell us, no, we're not going to rent to you because you have a felon. Well, I made you aware of this before I even gave you the money for my application fee, so you could have just saved me my money.
Me too, and I told you, I came running out of a prison like I was Nelson Mandela because I had taken every program I could force myself into, and I took my reentry so fast, and I expected to leap into everyone's arms and get job and a house. I mean, I had really worked on myself, and I was on suicide watch within a year, so just be very careful. Now, this is my plan of action for you.
Okay.
When do you get out of Alvis House?
November 2nd.
Okay, that's good. So we have a minute to form your stay out plan.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the middle of also organizing a benefit concert for the 1 in 6 children in America of the incarcerated parents, which 70% are going into the prison system that we already spend $90 billion a year on because it's so overpopulated, there's no room for rehabilitation. Do you agree?
I agree.
I agree, too. And also, a lot, almost everybody, not everybody, there were some sociopaths back there that just are a huge threat to society, but most people needed, I think the prison system is now a detox, it should be considered a detox center and a place for the mentally ill to get treated properly.
Right. Yes.
Right?
I agree.
Right, because that's what it's full of, mentally ill people and addicts that have done crazy shit when they were on drugs.
Right.
And they don't even remember it. Most of the time they were in a blackout.
Right.
Now, we do take accountability, you know, we understand, you know, drugs are drugs. But what I want to do with you is call Miss Tibbs, and it's called Infinite Wisdom for Women.
Okay.
It's $125 a week, and you have gainful employment right now.
I do, and I have money saved.
Yay! That helps me so much. You have no idea. Okay, so Miss Tibbs will, I know, by November 2nd, have a room for you.
Okay.
And the rooms are named stuff like Inspiration, Hope. They train you in karate. It's really cool what she does, but it's only month by month. Because I know, being in prison for 5 years and all this Alvis House, Halfway House, and the job that you have, you're probably ready to be on your own.
Right.
And you might be sick and tired of living with women and having no privacy. Because I know that that's actually how I feel. And I'm sort of still institutionalized. I like to be alone unless I'm out working. I'm a prisoner.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I isolate a lot.
Right. I isolate because I need peace. For years, I was in a place where people were screaming, yelling. Lockdown.
Yeah. Yes.
Wasn't it total chaos in that prison?
It was. It was very chaotic.
And then they would switch you dorms all the time. Like, all of a sudden they go, Passmore, 71719, pack it up. And then they put me in a whole different...
Yeah.
It was very, very not stable.
Right.
So anyways, I like to be by myself.
And yeah, me too.
You'll have privacy at Miss Tibbs. It's $125 a month. You have computers, there's Bible study, you are required to go to Bible study, but, you know, I always think God, and at least in my life, God's the only way I got through what I got through, because I did some god-awful drugs.
Right.
And
Where is the house located?
Okay, it is right by where you are, because I was at the Elvis house, and my book is in there. I donated two of them. I wish you, which one are you at?
I'm at 868.
Okay, they should have my book. If not, I'll try to scrounge you up one.
Yeah, it's not here. Me and Gina looked for it the other night. It's not here.
Oh, that makes... You know how people take the books?
Yeah.
When they leave?
Yeah, it's not here.
Okay, well, let me try to figure that out. And maybe Kristen will let me come see you, okay?
Okay.
But I want you to go to Infinite... Are you on probation when you get out of there, or parole?
No, I have 3 years.
You do? Okay, that's good, because Jesse's World will also... be a great place just until we find you a solid home that someone will rent to you. Now, my manager has a client called Ted, the man with the golden voice.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote a book that went worldwide. And Ted is also a U.S. veteran. He was in prison. He hasn't been in prison for years. And they can't find anyone. Ted has money. And no one wants to rent Ted a place because of his prior felonies that were years ago.
Right.
So we're not alone. You're not alone. I'm here with you, but I am organizing this benefit concert, so I might need you to help me someday with making donation boxes and stuff. The girls at the Elvis House did do that for me last year.
Okay.
Because you know how many children are caught up in this mess. Our families are chained to our, and so is society, because if we don't get jobs and housing, what are we going to do?
Right, exactly.
We're going to fall back, aren't we?
Yep.
Our choices are, if we have no jobs and housing, our choices are suicide, going back to hustling.
Old lifestyles, exactly.
Yep, and all this. So, you know, there needs to be a fair housing policy, which there is, but it's so outdated, it needs to add returning citizens, which is us, who has...
Yes.
Yeah, we've paid our price by judge and jury.
Yep, exactly.
Why are we so chained to our past when judge and jury said we have this amount of time, we've done it?
Right.
Why can't we move on?
Exactly.
Someone tell me that. I want someone to tell me that. Someone,
yep.
Someone that runs, you know, the government.
Yeah.
And trust and believe I'm on them too, like white on rice.
Uh-huh.
I promise you that. So, and
right.
The jails. I'm really wanting the jails to treat the heroin epidemic. Don't, you know, did you see a lot of addicts in the federal prison?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You do.
Now, the federal prison, that's like when you, why, is that when you go cross state lines or?
It depends on, like, the amount of drugs you were selling or the amount of money you got caught with.
Okay, that audio basically is two white ladies here in the United States. Both did time in the federal system. And they're, well, everybody, like I've told people before, everybody gets shit on. They're struggling to get housing due to their felony record with the feds. Now, I'm going to play this last audio before we go back into our special announcement. Because like I say, these are niches. Pick your niche or niches, and you can make a bundle with e-commerce just by providing housing to people that normally or traditionally can't get housing. So those are two white women that did time, and one's about to get out, one's already out. All right, now, this last audio I'm going to play is how you can even set up a village. Now, you can go online and read about Miracle Village. That's what's the name of it. Miracle Village is basically the brainchild of a landlord that, and I think there's more than one, and a woman at that. She noticed that there's a lot of male sex offenders who can't, very difficult for a sex offender to get housing. So this woman set up a community just for sex offenders. Let's listen.
Inside the secret community dubbed Miracle Village, where 100 child sex offenders live in isolation, cut off from normal society. At first glance, Miracle Village looks like a rural holiday camp far away from the hustle and bustle of the city. But inside each of these homes surrounding by plush green fields, each resident is forced to live away from normal society. The community outside of Perky, Florida, serves as a home for 100 registered sex offenders. Most have been convicted of sexual offenses against children. And in Florida, they are punished for their offenses forever. After offenders have served their time in prison, they face restrictions for life. This includes police chiefs having the power to notify the public about where they live. Sheriff Gordon Smith explains one example: you can live within 2,500 feet of any children congregate, churches, bus stops, and those sorts of things. In Bradford County, where he works, another extreme measure to alert people includes 5 feet red painted signs warning of convicted sexual predator outside criminals' homes featuring the names of the perpetrators. The laws result in many sex offenders living in entire communities. The issues has been highlighted in a new BBC documentary presented by Stacey Dooley, which looks at the approach of the people of Florida to sex offenders. One resident of Miracle Village is Chris Dawson, who has lived for 4 years in the community. After being convicted of sex with a child, his 14-year-old girlfriend, when he was 18. They had been together 2-3 months. He said, "She lied to me about her age and had fake ID. I had no idea. All her friends believed her, so I believed she was 18 too. I used to play drums in a band and go on tour and have great friends." He now has a girlfriend who he met at church but who already knew he was a sex offender. His girlfriend Lexi, 25, said, "At first it made me think twice, but the more I got to know him, the more I saw his character and passed the label. Things like marriage, living, and kids are affected by the label of sex offender. I won't be able to host sleepovers or birthday parties, or how am I going to tell my kids your dad is a sex offender?" The community is so popular with sex offenders there is not enough room for them, also they have settled in a nearby town, Pahiki, with the help of a religious ministry. One of those is Lewis, who is 33 years old, was convicted age 18 of attempting to have sex with a 9-year-old. He said, "I deserve a second chance." Pat Powers founded Miracle Village after serving 12 years in prison as sex offender after getting involved with students he was giving sports coaching to. He said, "You can look at my past and say, was he one of the top racquetball coaches in the world or a sex offender? I know what I did." Unsurprisingly, he believes, unlike most of his countrymen, that sex attackers deserve a second chance. On the other side is Florida Senator Lauren Boock, who runs a charity to prevent sexual abuse with her father Ron, a lawyer. In America, dozens of laws have been created and names following high-profile sexual crime in the books alone have.
Okay, I hate that computer voice. Anyway, but that person, I mean, like, there are about 2 million people in the United States that have some type of prison to jail record. And so there's a bunch, the reentry crowd or the returnees, it's matter of fact, it's a voting block, if you want to get political with it. But in any event, many of them, particularly sex offenders, now I'm bringing that up with this. There's so many niches out here. There's so many communities out here, sex offenders, people that might have a felony, single parents, homeless families, people that just want affordable living, that might live in like a New York or San Francisco or San Diego. So they on purpose live in their cars or vans, not because they can't afford an apartment or a house. It's because they want to get ahead, so they want to lower or eliminate some of their expenses. All right? You can literally set up communities of people. This particular person, and there's more than one of these type of miracle villages around in the United States, they do about $50,000 a month. $50,000 a month by concentrating on, and to be honest about it, the little microscopic niche of providing housing for sex offenders. It's a little microscopic niche. That's really all it is. But $50,000 a month, which is more than a lot of people make in a year. And you can do that via e-commerce, as well as many other things. But this week, we're talking about e-commerce as in relationship to housing. So the announcement, I'm repeating it again, we have two opportunities, all right? The one for today. Well, let me tell you about the second one before the one for today. Mr. C was on yesterday. All right. He has tentatively agreed to do coaching offline for an Airbnb, a property that we want to put on Airbnb. So he'll be, the two people that'll be on that one, you'll receive pictures of the property, and Mr. C will run down on, here's the first thing you need to do from A to B or A to Z, all right? And when the money comes through on that, you're going to get paid. Now, on the first transaction, I'll be the coach on that. I don't know if we're going to use Craigslist, but two people, I got one spot left. Robin's got the first slot. And essentially, there's about 20, 25 pictures I'll be sending you via email today. All right, and giving you a location of the property. And then we're going to discuss the platforms, and we'll go through step, we'll look what's all involved. And get together for a few minutes every day, and then post the online campaign, and that way you get to, and then when that property is rented out, then you get some money. All right, so two different properties. I'm involved in both of them, but I figured let me share the wealth and use it as a teaching opportunity. You don't have to have a penny to participate. You're going to have to do some work, though. Not a lot of work, because it's all online. Stuff like looking at the pictures, decide what pictures to load up, how to write the ads, how to, set up a particular profile online so you can sell via e-commerce, what platform will be used to collect the money. Won't be PayPal, but PayPal is an online paid platform. But I like other things that are app-based, like Cash App, Zelle, Apple Pay, and there's others out there too. So all that's involved. And then after, the property is rented out on both cases, then we come back on air and you give your testimonial. It's really not difficult. Like I say, it's essentially all online, your part. And then hopefully from that experience, of which you shall get paid, then you can start running your own auctions. Well, not auctions, but e-commerce campaigns. We're not running auctions. That is an option. But in these two cases, we're not going to run auctions. But we'll discuss it, though. Because there are online auctions in which you can do stuff. But in this case, we're doing straight rentals. Straight rentals, no need to auction that because we're not selling either one of these properties. We're just renting them out. So eBay would be a good place if you're going to auction it, but we're not doing an auction. So we'll break all that down so we get all the distinctions and this, that, or the other. Let's see, go back. 253, Robin, any comments, suggestions?
No, I'm just excited about getting started, and I urge anyone who's really interested, this is a wonderful opportunity, so call in and make yourself be known. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we'll also be going through how to, because essentially, these are two separate transactions. One that I'll be coaching, and then the one that Mr. C, matter of fact, we're going to call him Coach C. Coach C will be doing the other transaction. And the whole idea is once you complete one, okay, because yesterday we played some audio of a 16-year-old that made like $20,000 in a day, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we played a couple other audios that people made $100,000 in a month. Well, the only distinction between what we're doing in these two transactions and the 16-year-old still in high school that made $20,000 in a day online, and the other person or persons, because yesterday, and we're going to do it every day this week, go on YouTube and type in $100,000 per month and just scroll all the videos, play them too, as much as you can. The only difference between doing one transaction and doing and earning, let's say, $1,000 or $500, and the 16-year-old that made $20,000 in a day, he made more than that in a month, but that was his big day was $20,000 in a day. And the other videos that you see on YouTube with different products, $100,000 in a month, is once you do one, all you need to do is keep on repeating it. So everything that we learn as a team, you just keep on doing it over. And if you want to do it, like say, let's say you earn $1,000 from one rental. I mean, that's the gross, okay, the gross total. All right, if you want to earn $20,000 in a month, like that 16-year-old did, do it 19 more times. If you want to get it up to 100, do it 99 more times. You're probably going to need to do it as a team, because I've noticed in all the videos that I've studied on this using e-commerce, that's the common denominator. Collaboration. You can call it collaboration, you can call it affiliation, you can call it partnership, but it's not a lone wolf scenario. All right. So those are the, yeah, one little team of three that I'll be coaching, and then it'll be a team of four with Coach C, which we heard yesterday. So Rob and I will be sending you pictures sometime this afternoon, because I got them on my other phone.
Okay.
And we'll report back on a daily basis on what we're doing. So hopefully somebody will get inspired and you know, do this on their own. Robin, any special announcements?
No, no special announcements. No, not yet.
There's a podcast tonight titled Strictly Business, and that's with Pleasant Steffens. And Pleasant, if you know the number, I know it's 516. Let me see. You can announce that, Pleasant, just press one. Hold on, I'm trying to find. Strictly Business with Pleasant Steffens, and his that shows, I think, 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's tonight and Monday through Friday. The live stream number at 7:30 p.m. 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern. It's 516-387-1512. That's 516-387-1512. And on the last audio that we played, Robin, any thoughts on what niche of a community that we can organize on the ground?
What niche of a community can we organize?
Like the last audio I played, the niche was sex offenders. So that, that person earns $50,000 a month providing housing in one location for sex offenders. But there are many other niche markets out there.
Military, returning veterans or separating veterans, students, colleges, students, dormitories.
That's true. There's a lot of students. And not all universities have adequate housing for their students either.
A business travelers and people in term of in need of long term or short term affordable and accessible. Accessible housing options.
Right.
Which is what this will definitely be.
True. You know, probably we need to start discussing that because that'll probably help us with the Pembroke thing. Yeah, if we carve out a niche that has high demand.
Right. So right away, we heard one today with people who have done their time. They have money saved up. They're working. They're doing everything that they're supposed to, but people still won't rent to them. So that's an untapped market right there.
That's cool. That, and you got, there's so many of them. You got single parents, homeless families. There's communities upon communities that
and
need
also
respite.
We can set up, because one thing that's underserved is for the caregivers. There's a need of respite care for the caregivers. You know, kind of like a spa or respite care.
Right.
And a place, a facility, a niche that not only caregivers, but, you know, everyone is going to be in need of a rest or relaxation type of thing. And again, we can look and make some sort of experience. So, like, what is it?
Oh, you there? Or did you hit mute by accident?
25. It's just a major big part. And all around it, there are people that rent skateboards, hoverboards, bicycles, stuff like that, electric bikes. So I'm going to create an event. And you know how they said that they will suggest, you know, most of the people will follow your suggestions and book who you suggest. So, and that's another thing that you could, another niche you can carve out without
matter
having
fact,
to die either.
Let me, I like that idea, create an event. Because if you create a, let's say you create a, here's an event that you can create 1,000 different ways. The general concept is that of a housing fair. You can set up a housing fair for ex-offenders. Now, there are different distinctions of ex-offenders. You can set up a housing fair for female returning citizens, male returning citizens, returning citizens 50 plus years or older, sex offender, returning citizens. There's so many juvenile returning citizens, single parent housing fair. There's at least 1,000 different niche markets I think we should do that on a regular. Set up niche market housing fairs. And here's another, you know what, let me put this in my calculator before I forget. Niche plan well, hold it. You know what, I need to add some more time on to this podcast. Plan niche market housing fair. Because when we do that, we got everybody we need up front to do a community.
Yes. Yeah. And
the money and everything.
And they're and the people, I mean, they'll be ready because people are not renting to them. And their times are running out in the facilities that they're in. And they shouldn't have to keep going from halfway house to facility to halfway house. Come on, people. Let's they've done their time, and they've taken all the steps that we've already said that stipulated, then let's rent to these people and let's give them jobs. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, otherwise, you might as well just send people to jail and throw away the key, basically. If you release them and let them out, then let's.
You know what? That might be
the solution for
Pembroke. The solution for Pembroke might be spot do some housing fairs.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, Kankakee County, and let's say one in Pembroke proper.
All those places that are nearby that have high crime and high recidivism, this is an answer, this is a solution. And so you won't even have to worry about much marketing except for letting them know that it's available, you know, because they need to, they can't possibly serve everyone.
Okay, no, all right, yeah. Yeah, that we need to have a calendar where you know what? That's how we'll do the communities. We'll have these niche market housing fairs, and in a sense, we will collect the names, phone numbers, email addresses, and opportunity where people can that are ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to do that on the regular. All right. On that note, Robin, I will be sending you pictures in a few minutes of the property that we have.
Wow.
One of the properties that we have in question. And then tomorrow, we're doing e-commerce, all this in relationship to housing. Now, that's on it. But the other thing, I mean, you can do T-shirts, quilts, anything you can think of, it can sell online. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.